The following message is an Antioch Bible Church presentation.
Now, if you can run into the greatest gift giver in all the world, and whenever you run into that gift giver, he wants to give you one of the best gifts possible, would you be excited about meeting him? I mean, absolutely. And if you're not that excited about meeting him, then you need to come for some counseling. Now, not only is he to have the capabilities of giving you the best gift ever, but he wants to give you a gift in such a way, and that gift is so good, you don't need anything else. How about that? That one gift is best and is better than anything anyone else could give you ever. You would not like anything. You would not want anything or shouldn't want anything. It should make you complete. It should fulfill you. Now, that, my friend, is a gift. And we're going to talk about that gift today. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity we have to open your word. Thank you for moving me out of the way that you may have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. Those of us who need comfort, Lord, I pray you would comfort us. And those of us who need conviction, I pray you would convict us. For Lord, there's nothing greater in all the world than you. Your word is complete. It should complete us. Help us to walk out of here, Lord, with a whole different attitude today about what you've given us. In your Son's most holy, precious, glorious name, we all say, he who comes with strength is the gift today. John 14, beginning with verse 15, please. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, as we read through these verses, as we finish up chapter 14, watch how many times the word love is used as we go through these verses. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. How long? Comforter, another comforter. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him. He dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but you will see me, because I live. You shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. You know, there's a lot of love stuff going on here. Yeah, he's not like that word love pretty freely. Sometimes I think we get that definition of love that we think love means, and it may not be the same type of love that God is talking about. Verse 22, Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being present with you, but the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. How many things is he going to bring to your remembrance? Whatever I have said unto you. You mean to tell me sometimes we have problems remembering things that we've studied? Could it be that we have forgotten that we ought to be controlled by the Spirit of God when we study? We ought to be controlled by the Spirit of God while we're studying. And we ought to make sure we're controlled by the Spirit of God after we study. Because it's the Holy Spirit that brings back in remembrance of what you need. You ever been talking to someone and verses are something comes up and you don't know where did that come from? Don't you ever say, I don't know where that come from. That comes from the Spirit of God. Talks about loving you. And I love for God to talk about loving me. I love this love stuff. But you know what, man? My life, it don't match up to what my definition of love is. Somebody say amen here. I'm talking, you know what I'm talking about? And, you know, if someone loves me, they ought to make it easy on me. They shouldn't want to make things difficult. You love me. If you love me, make it easy for me. Don't make me choose. Don't make me make no sacrifices. Somebody got another definition of love than what I got now, you know? Because evidently, man, God's definition of love and your definition of love and my definition of love could be totally different loves. And I just want to ask you a question. Whose love matters? You know, because, you know, every now and then things start getting a little rough. I want to ask God, what have you done for me lately? Except giving me opportunities to trust you. Well, I guess that's more love stuff here. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace. Whose peace? See, if you're going to love me, I want my kind of peace. I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you will rejoice. Because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I am. And now I have told you before, it's going to come to pass, that when it does come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter, I will not talk much more to you because the prince of this world is on the way. Check this out. He's on the way and he's coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do to you. Arise, let us get out of this room of the Last Supper. We got some real more important things. Real more. That's bad right there, wasn't it? We got some real more important things. Y'all excuse me. Sometimes my southern knees come through when I'm not thinking. We got a lot more important things to do. So let's get out of this room and let's go accomplish it. I'm going to show you how much I love you. I'm going to go away in death. But I'm going to come back. Now, let's talk about this gift. This love gift that God gives you and I. Is there any greater gift that God can give you and I than being indwelt by the Holy Spirit? You see, you got to accept him for that to take place. He got to die for you for that to take place. And for him to take up permanent residence in you and I, you and I better understand who we just received. The Holy Spirit is off. I can't explain how great this gift is. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about it by using verses, but you're going to have to come to the conclusion that there are no better gift than the Holy Spirit. And if it is the best gift you and I could ever have, why is it that we're constantly thinking and asking for something more? Could it be that we take this special gift, this most important gift, one of the most, a gift that can't be outgiven, that we take it for granted? Do you know who the Holy Spirit is? So we're going to go a lot of verses, right? Now you guys going to have to be going real fast. I'm going to be hearing those leaves pass. Either one, you know. But I want you guys to get to them verses. And when you get there, I want you to give me a praise the Lord or hallelujah. Go ahead, Pastor. Any one of those will do. You know, because sometimes the pastor just needs some encouragement on the east side. Maybe a little louder when we get over to the Black Gospel Sunday. But until then, y'all pretend like you like what I'm saying. Do you guys know that the Holy Spirit is God? He says, in the old King James translation, it is woefully mistranslated in Romans chapter 8. Woefully mistranslated. It says the Holy Spirit itself. calls the Holy Spirit an it, a what. The Holy Spirit is not a it, it's not a what, it is a who? It is a him. It is God Almighty. Now, just think about this. God says, when I'm here in the flesh, I can only be outside of you. I got to leave so I can send you another comforter. And that other comforter, I want you to have the relationship with him as I had with the disciples. Now, the question I got is, do you think that you have the same relationship with the Holy Spirit that the disciples had with Jesus Christ? If not, we got a problem. See, that's why as Christians, if you don't have that same type of relationship, you can feel alone. You can feel, what's another good word for it I'm looking at? Abandoned. You can feel not loved. And if you've gone through any of those, it's because you do not understand the relationship that you and I are supposed to have with the other comforter that Jesus Christ had with the disciples. And he says, I got to go. So everyone can have a personal relationship with me. A personal relationship with God. And he will never leave nor forsake you. I guess we'll go and look at some verses. Would that be okay? We look at some verses? Would that be all right? All right. Number one, God is the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to Acts chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. You got to be quicker than what you're doing now. We got a lot of verses, and we've already started the sermon with communion, correct? And the Al just kept on going and kept on going with his sermon, so we need to pray for him. Acts chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not yours? And after it was sold, was it not yours and under your own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto man, but you lied unto God. Now, 3 and 4, the same verse, one back to back. Holy Spirit is called Holy Spirit, one verse. Next verse is called God. Holy Spirit is God. Do you understand that God takes permanent residence inside of you who is the temple of God? Now, I know that some of us don't have the same type of relationship with the Holy Spirit that we would like to have with Jesus Christ. He was standing in front of us. Because if Jesus Christ was standing in front of you, would you say some of the things you say? If Jesus Christ was right here, you know, standing right next to you, would you do some of the things you do? Would you act some of the ways you act? You and I know we would. We wouldn't even do that if some other Christians were standing around us. But if Jesus was standing there, oh, we would think twice about what we say, doing that. And here's the Holy Spirit living in you, and you act like he's not even present. You know what? If someone is standing out here, you got to at least speak it for them to hear it. If someone's living in here, only thing you got to do is think it. And the Holy Spirit right there going, what did you just say? What did you just think? Ooh, don't you know I'm in here? Don't mess up my temple. Know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. The Holy Spirit is God, and we need to have a very close relationship with the Holy Spirit, because if you don't, you got a problem. You know what the problem is? You can't walk righteously before the Father. You guys know what attributes the Holy Spirit has? Some of the same attributes that the Holy Spirit has is the same attributes that the Son has, God the Son. The same attributes that God the Father has. Ooh. And he's living in you. You lack wisdom? Could be you're not controlled by the Spirit. Don't know what to do? Could be you're not controlled by the Spirit. Let me give you a little secret about walking with Christ. If you don't know what to do, don't sin. Don't sin. That's it. How many of you ever say, I just don't know what to do? I just don't know what to do. I can tell you what to do. Don't sin. And guess what? You'll come out pretty good. Let's talk about another attribute of the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, you and I sometimes think that our problems can get really, really complicated. Can't hear you. Oh, man, no one's ever going through a problem like this. Did you know the Holy Spirit is all wise? How wise? Is there anything you're going to run into that's going to baffle him? Holy Spirit just throws a hand up. Ooh, never saw that before. Wow. That caught me totally off guard right there. Woo! 1 Corinthians chapter 2. When you get there, just scream out, hey, praise God. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Someone say amen. Amen. There's nothing outside of the Holy Spirit that you don't need to know. Should I take this job? Pray to the Holy Spirit. Control you. Ask for wisdom and then make the decision. If you don't make your sin, go for the one you like the best. I love people go, Pastor, I got three doors. I don't know which one to choose. Choose the one you like the best. If neither one of them makes you sin, go for the one you like the best. Well, you know, one is I can work in Hawaii, and the other is I can work in Sacramento. And I think God wants me to go to Sacramento because he don't want me happy. You know what? We can understand a closed door a lot better than three open ones. Can I have an amen? Amen. And if you're asking the Holy Spirit to lead you, run for the one you like best. Run. Amen. Run for it. Because you know what's going to happen. Bam. And all of a sudden, you know, well, I don't think he wants me in that one. So you run for the second one. Can I have an amen? You know what God will do sometimes? Neither one is the one he wants you to have. He just want to know if you're moving. Are you trusting his wisdom? He's all wise. Did you guys know he's all powerful? The Holy Spirit living inside of you and I is all what? All power. Does that mean there's anything outside of his power? Does that mean you got a problem that he can't deal with? Oh, come on, some of you act like that. Oh, my, I don't know how we're going to make it through this one. Holy Spirit says, you can't. But I can. He's all powerful. What's that? Well, Luke chapter 1, verse 35. Come on, get there. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the high shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Can I ask you a question? If the Holy Spirit can come up on a virgin and have her become pregnant, that's pretty smooth. Someone say, come on, give me some feedback on that. I'm going to ask you a question. Is there anything in your life that you're going through that's more difficult than making a virgin pregnant? Just saying. So why in the world are we worried? Why do we fret? Why do we get upset? You got God Almighty in the form of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Trinity, living in you. And he's given it as a gift. Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe the biggest problem I have in life is that I believe the Bible. I believe what it says. And that gets me in a lot of trouble at times. Because when it comes to love, man, I think you ought to love folks according to the biblical definition. Not what's going to make life easier. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is eternal? I shouldn't get, if you guys are not going to get excited, I shouldn't get excited, right? I should be just as down as you are. Anyone ever read Hebrews 9:14? Read Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from the dead works to serve the living God? Can most of us in here tell me, answer me this, is most of our problems temporary? Our life is even temporary. Now, just a little thought here. If the Holy Spirit is eternal and our problems is temporary, which one's going to last the longest? And we act like, oh, my land. Oh. We're not going to make it. Oh, we ain't going to make it. Oh, we ain't going to make it. That's right. Even the babies cry. I have never, ever ran into a problem that's lasted longer than Jesus. Longer than God the Father. And definitely hadn't lasted long as the Holy Spirit that dwells and lives in me. How about omnipresent? Did you know that the Holy Spirit is omnipresent? So that means regardless of where you go, he'll be there. You know, he's a long distance runner too. You can try to run away from him, and when you get there, he's already sitting there. And you know what's so bad about it? He doesn't even have to do any running. You carry him. You brought him with you. Psalms 139. Jump on that, please. Psalms 139, verse 7 through 10. Let me hear you. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, you're even there. Even there shall my hand, thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Man, that Holy Spirit is a gift, isn't he? He is a gift, baby. There he is, right, bam, right there, right inside of it, just taking up residence, permanent residence. How many of you know that the Holy Spirit is the author of Scripture? You know why sometimes it's hard for you and I to understand Scripture? Because we're trying to do it without the Holy Spirit. I studied that, and I just didn't get nothing out of that. I couldn't understand it. Well, two things you need to check on. Number one, did you have any unconfessed sins when you got in the Word? And number two, did you make sure that you confessed those sins and asked the Holy Spirit to control you when you got in the Word? Because he is the author of Scripture. What's that mean? Oh, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 20, 21, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. What kind of interpretation? None. Now, I got to throw a question at you. If God is going to judge you and send you to your eternal destiny based upon his word, do you think God has a responsibility to keep his word pure? What kind of God is it that'll let it fall apart and then judge you on the wrong word? For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but by holy men of God, spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. author of Scripture, Holy Spirit. A good East Side word here, he is the illuminator of Scripture. I looked that up so I can impress you guys today. He makes known, he makes right, he makes light of the Scriptures. He makes them seen and understood. The illuminator. Sounds like a movie, doesn't it? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 again. Verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, even the deep things of God. Well, I don't know about you, but I like the Holy Spirit. How about you? You know that the Holy Spirit has a relationship to the world, and the non-believing world? Isn't that something? You got to know he's got to have a relationship with the non-believing world, because if he didn't have a relationship with the non-believing world, no one would be saved. Romans 3 tells us no one seeks after God. No, not one. And if the Holy Spirit don't intervene, there'll be no believers. So he's got to have a relationship with the non-believing world. How about that one? Do you know he convicts the world of sin? No one on earth will ever have, check this out, no one will ever have an excuse, because the Holy Spirit is the one that's convicting. And can you imagine someone walking in and go, well, you didn't tell me that. I never heard that. God, what you mean? Holy Spirit says, did you ever know what Romans chapter 2, verse 15 said? I wrote it on your heart. Convicts of sin, John 16:7. Convicts of righteousness. He says, not only am I going to convict you of what's wrong, I'm going to convict you of what you need to do that's right. Now, then he says, I'm going to convict you of judgment too, because I'm going to let you know you're going to be judged, and you're not going to have any excuse of saying, I didn't know I was going to be judged. I thought you loved everybody. Now, question. If the Holy Spirit can convict the world of sin, convict the world of unrighteousness, and convict the world of judgment, you as believers, do you think you have any excuse not to know what the Holy Spirit is saying to you? Well, it's a good thing that the sermon is ending, huh? I'm going to lay some verses on you real quick. You're going to have to look those up. You probably have to get this tape to get them looked up. But I want to tell you what the Holy Spirit would do to believers. Now, we just heard what he does to non-believers. Amen? Guess what he does to believers? Number one, he regenerates. He regenerates you and I. Gives us strength and power and effort to make it through when we're tired and don't think we can go another step. Don't think we got enough energy to go. Ooh, he regenerates. He comes in and makes you new. That's Titus 3:5. He baptizes you and I. Someone say amen. Amen. Baptizes. Bam! Put us into the kingdom. That's 1 Corinthians 12:13. He indwells us. Takes up permanent residence. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, 20. Seals us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Fills us. Ephesians 5, 18. Helps us in prayer. You know, you don't even have to. You say, I just don't know how to pray. Just confess your sin, ask the Holy Spirit to fill you, and he'll help you in prayer. And he'll keep you from, you know, he'll keep you from praying some things too. That's Romans 8, verse 26. Matthew 6, 33. You know what Matthew 6, 33 tells us? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all those things, what? Will be added unto you. He says, you know what? He says, if you just do what I ask you to do, by seeking me, and you forget to ask what you need, I'm all eyes. I know what you need if you forget. But sometimes I got to hold back what you need because the last thing you're seeking is me. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's a gift. That's what God has given us, the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. He is the comforter, the one who comes with strength, who keeps us, who teaches us, who convicts us, who seals us, who indwells us, who molds us, who shows us, who leads us, who strengthens us, who holds us in the righteous living hand of God. You and I ought to thank him every now and then for that. Can I get an amen?
This has been a presentation of Antioch Bible Church. For more information about Antioch Bible Church or to order additional resources, please call 425-556-5905 or go to www.abchurch.org.